I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to a special edition version of the Pocket Lint Podcast. I'm Rick Henderson, and this week we held our 19th annual EE Pocket Lint Awards, where we announced the winners of 20 categories across tech, streaming, automotive and games, plus the overall product of the year. So we're dedicating this podcast to the winners, and joining me to talk about them are Pocket Lint's editor Chris Hall and reviews editor Verity Burns. They, myself and a range of industry judges selected our favourites of the year. Each has been fully reviewed on pocketlint.com, so you can also check out our in-depth thoughts there. However, for now, we'll go through the categories in short, sharp fashion and give you our impressions on why we think each device or service won. So, without further ado, let's start with Best TV Streaming Service and Verity. The winner of this category is Disney Plus. Why do you think the judges chose it over the other nominees?
I think Disney Plus has been one of those services that's just been... I think it's quite unusual for a service to launch and be so polished, but it's something that has just got better, and the offering's got better. What's available to watch, it touches the whole breadth of the family, from kids all the way through to grown-ups, obviously with Star Wars and Marvel, but obviously all of the Disney goodness as well. So it's one of those services that just suits everybody, I think, and a great price.
Yeah, totally agree. I also think in the UK and Europe, we actually get a better deal even, because we have Star, which is the sort of like the adult content section. And I don't mean in a sort of like horny way. I mean more. I'm particularly fond of The Walking Dead, and that was entirely on Star. So, Disney Plus, in my eyes, very worthy winner. Next category, we have to be quite short and sharp with this, because obviously there are 20 categories and we don't want to go on forever. The Best Music Streaming Service is the next category, and that was won by Apple Music. Chris, why do you think Apple Music beat the likes of the traditions of Spotify and Deezer?
I think one of the things that we're looking at here is the transition from normal streaming to more advanced streaming, you know, high resolution music, spatial audio and that kind of stuff. And that's a message that Apple has been hammering home. They've been putting into headphones and delivering it through their music service without charging any more for it. So I suspect that kind of tipped the balance. We're kind of left feeling that some of the services are offering slightly more than some others, and Apple Music was the one that came out on top.
We're still waiting for, obviously, the equipment to kind of support the actual high res that Apple Music offers, but surely that's going to be a big year. 2023 will be a big year for that. Again, moving on very quickly, back to Verity, it's Best TV. And the a category that traditionally is one by an OLED, and again it is this year. It's the LG OLED Evo C2. Verity, is this the best TV?
It is a fantastic TV. It's been a really, really great year for TVs, though. So it was a hotly contested category. But I think LG's C series has long been fantastic. And this it continues the tradition, really. The panel is brighter this year. Obviously, that OLEDs are fantastic. But what they haven't had is that kind of really, really bright, the top nits that the kind of QLEDs and LCD TVs offer. But now we're getting much closer to it. And so those HDR kind of highlights really pop. And yeah, the LG C2 just does it fantastically. And at great value, it's still one of the cheaper OLEDs that you can buy. So I think all of those things combined make it a fantastic winner. Yeah.
I think also LG has done a great job in keeping that cost down. Not least because it makes the panels for everybody else, so it can kind of
undercut everybody. Yeah. which is helpful.
Yeah, definitely.
Considering the strides forward in the TV category this year, I think you know, for LG to have held them at maybe not quite an arm's length, but maybe half an arm's length is very impressive indeed. Yeah.
Excellent. So if you're after a TV, that's definitely a TV to look out for, especially if it comes up in the January sales. Best smart home device. Now, we'll fairly skip over this one because yet again, I think it's won a few times, it's Philips Hue. Something I've got an awful lot of in my house and I love it, and it's self-explanatory, really. Best tablets 2-in-1, possibly another obvious winner. It's the Apple iPad Air, the 2022 M1 edition. All right, Chris, iPad, isn't it?
It's an iPad. you know, we all know that we're basically looking at a market that's split between two different camps. There is the premium end with the Apple iPad, and there's the affordable end with the Amazon Fire tablets. Lots of people trying now to get back into it, but Apple dominates the tablet experience. They've stuck to it for many years, built up the app experience, continue to add support and functionality to their iPad. So, yeah, not really a surprise at all that the iPad Air has won.
Excellent. And back to Verity for best soundbar is the Sony HT-A7000. Now, I was a little bit surprised by this one, I must admit. Why do you think it won?
Yeah, it's another repeat winner, actually. It won our soundbar award last year, and we just loved it so much that it's won again this year. There have been some great competition, something a little bit cheaper, but there has been some more competition up at its sort of price range and the above £1,000 mark, from like the likes of DVLA and Harman Kardon. But it's just a great soundbar. There's not much else to say about it. If you've got the money and you're looking for a really great soundbar, then this will not just kind of amplify what you're looking at on TV, but actually bring out more detail and tell you more about the dialogue and about what you're watching on TV.
Dolby Atmos?
Yes, sorry, of course, yes. At this price, you would hope so. And yes, Dolby Atmos and DTS:X support. So yes, if you've got a soundtrack that supports Dolby Atmos and a TV that supports it, then absolutely this will make the very most of your Dolby Atmos soundtracks too.
So great performance per pound.
Great performance per pound, despite the fact that it is over the £1,000 mark. I think if you've got that premium TV, if you've got that premium setup, then yeah, this is a great investment.
So now on to the next category, and it's another product that I don't know personally so well. It was best speaker, and it's the Audio Pro C10 Mark II. Max reviewed it for the website, but Chris, do you know an awful lot about this speaker?
Yeah, Audio Pro have a great range of speakers. They come in a range of different shapes and sizes, and this just fits into a great point for us. You know, it looks good, it sounds good, it performs exactly the way that you want it to, and there are lots of options out there. And sometimes, you know, you have to look away from some of the obvious candidates. It's just a really good looking speaker that you can put on your bookshelf at home and enjoy the sweet sounds that it produces.
And keeping with audio, the next category is best in-ear headphones. And it's another surprise for me. It's kind of shows the revival of Sennheiser, because the Sennheiser Momentum True Wireless 3. Bit of a mouthful, but really good in-ears, aren't they, Verity?
Yeah, they're a really good pair of in-ears. There's been a big step up from the last pair. And yeah, I just think that the marketplace for in-ears is getting bigger, and you're getting more and more players on board from the cheaper end to the high end. But I think the Sennheisers just nail it. They look very nice. They're very comfortable. The noise cancelling is very good. And of course, Sennheiser sound quality is fantastic as well. So a very tightly contested category. But I think the Sennheisers are worthy winners indeed.
Yeah. it's great to see them come back to sort of like be amongst the big brands like Apple and Bose and Sony. It's really good to see Sennheiser back again. And I've just mentioned one of the brands that won best headphones, i.e. the best over-ear headphones. And Chris reviewed these for PocketLint.com. The Sony WH-1000XM5. They seem to win every year with their latest generation.
Yeah, it has to be one of the most successful families of headphones. The big thing that marks this latest edition out is the design has finally changed with Mark V. Not that anyone was really complaining about the design, but obviously Sony thought it was time to shift things up a bit. Still great performance, outstanding active noise cancellation. I have already started seeing these headphones on people's heads when traveling, and I suspect we're going to see a lot more of them in the future.
Yeah, definitely. They do look as good as they sound now. It's over to me, I think, for this next one, because I don't think either of you have played it yet. our best game was and is God of War Ragnarok. Now, if we had Max on the program, he'd be spitting feathers right now, because he definitely wanted a different game to win this one. I've had lots of debates with him about this, but God of War Ragnarok, I reviewed for the website, and it's absolutely stunning. There's no doubt about it. It is such a good game. I completed it in around 55 hours and spent all that time on it, and I was devastated when I finished. So that shows a great game. Brilliant story, fantastic way of furthering the series, genuinely superb. Much, you know, an honourable mention does need to be given to Elden Ring, which is Max's choice. Elden Ring is also a superb game, so if you can afford both, go get them. The next category, again, is another gaming category, is get best gaming stroke / VR device. And once again, it goes to the PlayStation 5. No surprises there. PlayStation 5 has been the most successful games console this generation. End of. So, moving on. Best gaming laptop. I don't think any of us have used or know much about this one. Is the Asus ROG Zephyrus S17. I've used an Asus ROG Zephyrus previous generation. Great laptops. Look great. Very chunky. Can't carry them.
Yeah, certainly.
But they are great. They are great.
Lots of power to it, I think.
Yeah, one of the things that made this a standout is that it has a very responsive, clicky RGB keyboard, which is exactly what you need when playing games.
Yeah, and I can see the trend as well. Having family members that want in gaming machines now, they're all going for laptops rather than desktops. So I can see that trend of getting a laptop as your desktop in the gaming sphere. Best laptop itself, the Apple MacBook Air. Apple once again walks away with this category with its M2 MacBook Air. Chris?
What surprised me about the MacBook Air was it was slightly less airy than previous Airs. yeah. You know, we're used to having, I remember the first MacBook Air when it was pulled out of the manila envelope on stage by Steve Jobs, and the latest generation is slightly less exquisite in its design, but it's a new, fresh design, and everybody who has one of these absolutely raves about it. No question about M2 power. It has all come together very slick, great battery life, great overall performer. So, yeah, a deserved winner.
Yeah, absolutely. Best camera. Now, we don't have any other camera people in this podcast, so it's hard to assess exactly why this one, but as soon as I say it, you'll understand, really. It's the Panasonic Lumix GH6. I think Panasonic has done incredible work in recent times with its cameras, and this takes that to another level.
Absolutely. I think it's just, it's one of those series that just continues to impress, I think, isn't it? Particularly for, you know, for video and for stills. I think it's just one of those brilliant classic series that keeps getting better.
I think what it's the proof in the pudding for me is that whenever I've met pro photographers, either doing gig photography or anything like that, they'll have their Canon or their Nikon, you know, major 5D Mark fours or fives or whatever it is up to now. But they'll also have a Panasonic Lumix in their bag as a secondary camera. And I think that says everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Chris, best car. You're the only one that knows why. Kia EV6.
Just go outside and look up and down the road and a Kia EV6 will appear before your eyes. Well, it's not quite that simple, but...
You won't hear it coming, though.
You won't hear it coming, no. It's just an exquisite car. It shares the same platform as some of the close contenders. And actually, one of them, the Hyundai Ioniq 5, won last year. And also on the shortlist was the model from Genesis. And they are very similar, but it's an absolutely outstanding platform for these cars. Good value for money. The Kia EV6 looks amazing. The GT is incredibly fast, if that appeals to you. But it's really range for the amount you pay for it, and the, you know, the finish, you know, it just sits in that sweet point.
Does it help that Kia is kind of almost like a tech brand when it came to cars? I remember the original, before the EVs started appearing, Kia always had a lot of tech packed into its cars.
Yeah, I think one of the things that helps Kia is that it's very simple to buy their cars because they don't have lots and lots of options, which is typical with some of the German brands, where you buy the base car and then you just layer on thousands and thousands extra as you pick the little bits and pieces. Kia tend to offer you a base model that's already very well connected, so you can buy the cheapest model and not feel that you've compromised on any of that tech. So yeah, it's just a great offering, and it really does help, you know, make the price look more reasonable.
Now on to best smartwatch, and it might not come as much surprise that the Apple Watch Series 8 has won this category. Verity, Apple does it again.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just one of those categories that Apple has also just made fantastic moves in. And although the Series 8 doesn't push on massively from the Series 7, I think it's just jam-packed for anybody that wanting to buy a smartwatch if they haven't already bought one. The Apple Watch Series 8 doesn't put many feet or a foot wrong.
It's also cheaper than the Ultra.
People
are sort of like wondering which one to buy. I think the Series 8 has an awful lot of the tech for less money.
Yeah, I think the Ultra is fantastic, you know, fantastic piece of kit, but to use it to, you know, its max, you really need to be... you know, it has that the dive sensor on it and things like that. You know, you have to be really, really active to make the most of the extra tech that's on board and the extra kind of sensors and things like that. I think the Series 8 ticks the box for most people.
Definitely. Best fitness device, the Garmin Forerunner 955. Chris, you're a Garmin person.
This is, again, coming off the back of a very popular series of running devices. This is Garmin's flagship watch for specifically aimed at runners, but nowadays it does so much. It does payments and music and everything else. So it is in many ways a smartwatch, but it's just the performance. Like if you are a runner and you want particular metrics, there it's just there. There is so much data that you I don't think anybody will use all of the data it produces. But you know that it's all there. It's doing everything. It looks great. It wears well. The battery life is outstanding. It's just an all-round great device.
Excellent. Best phone. We'll stick with you, Chris. Best phone, £250 to £500. Unsurprisingly, the Google Pixel 6a. It's a great phone, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Google packed in all of their camera technology, so this will take great pictures in just about any situation. And the good thing about this mid-range phone is it has the same power as Google's flagship device from last year. So it sits on Google Tensor, which means it is as powerful. So there are few compromises. It's just a great all-rounder, and it really kind of shakes up the market a bit.
And our last of our categories, without the couple of special categories, is best flagship phone. So again, probably unsurprising, it's the Apple iPhone 14 Pro. Verity, it's a great phone, isn't it? And Apple, again, like with the smartwatch, it's done it again.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fantastic phone. They didn't really leave many kind of boxes unticked this year. There's new design, there's better cameras, processor upgrades, and display improvements. And then, of course, there's that dynamic island, which is very nice to look at and a really intriguing kind of little bit of a software flourish that's nice. But I just think, previously, maybe the Max hasn't been the go-to phone from the series, but this year it 100% is.
Yeah, I've got the Pro Max myself, and I thought the Dynamic Island was just going to be a gimmick, but I've actually fallen in love with it. It's just really just little things it does that I actually really like. It fills me with joy.
And that's what we're looking
for. Isn't that the phrase? Yes, exactly. Talk about filling people with joy. The EE Super Fast Award, which we traditionally give to a product or a chipset or something that provides a super fast experience. And this year is pretty much exactly what it says on the tin. It's the Super VOOC charging. I'm not sure that's how you say it, to be honest.
That is how you say it. But yeah, Super VOOC charging is in Oppo and OnePlus phones in various different forms. It comes in various different speeds. It just keeps getting faster and faster. And this really does make a huge difference because it means that you can charge your phone in minutes rather than hours.
Yeah, I mean, you know, EE Super Fast Award, exactly that. And finally, and we'll give this a little bit more time because it's worthy, what we do each year at the EE Pocket Lint Awards is we always give a product of the year. And what it is we basically, everything that actually won their individual categories are eligible for the product of the year. We tot up all the awards, we tot up all the scores that the judges gave, and the product of the year is the product that literally got the highest score from all of the judges. And this year's product of the year is the Sony WH-1000 XM5 headphones, which we talked about earlier, but we'll dwell on a little bit more. They are that good, aren't they, Chris?
Yeah, they really are. And it was clear this year, because I was actually looking at the scores and seeing how they came in, and there was no doubt, there was no contest here. This was by and far away the winner of the product of the year. It received the highest scores across all of the categories. Often we'd say it was a close run thing, but in this case, it wasn't a close run thing. I absolutely love these headphones. As I said before, there's so many clever things that they do. They just sound great. The noise cancellation is just divine. You can sit on an aeroplane and sleep in them. Block out the outside world. The worst thing about these headphones is when you do get on them, get on a plane wearing them, as soon as you take them off, it's really, really noisy.
Yeah.
So you literally have to wear them the entire time you're on the plane.
Well, I have a previous generation. I actually wear them sleeping on a plane because they help me sleep to get block out that noise, just for the noise cancelling. But the actual the other thing about them, and this is something, Verity, that I think other manufacturers and some other manufacturers, some have managed it, but many don't, is the comfort of the Sonys. And that is a big, big thing.
Yeah, that you're, you know, particularly if you're using them for traveling, they're going to be sitting on your head for some hours, many hours if you decide to sleep in them perhaps. I think that's, you know, of course we want great noise cancellation, of course we want excellent sound quality, but comfort is, you know, if you can't actually wear them for long periods of time, then that's sort of that's going to be a big problem. So it's great that they have, you know, obviously and clearly dedicated you know, a lot of time to their design and their comfort when wearing them, because the pressure from noise cancellation, but also, you know, just from wearing a pair of, you know, over a headphones on your head for some time, it's not an easy thing to balance. It's not an easy thing to get right. And Sony really have nailed it, particularly with the XM5s.
Absolutely. Congratulations, Sony, and congratulations to the Sony WH-1000 XM5 wireless ANC headphones. So that's it for this special edition of the EE Pocket Lint Awards podcasts. Big thanks to Chris and Verity for talking us all through the winners. I've been Rick Henderson, and we'll be back soon with another edition of Tech Talk from the Pocket Lint team. Tutty bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.